is the McDonald's Viking Rail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Rail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome, once again, to another exciting edition of the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, alongside the head boys basketball coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Coles and Carl Knox. Episode 20.
We're building on it now.
Yeah. Five more episodes, it'll be our silver anniversary.
Oh. Ooh.
Start shopping now, Sparky.
Sounds romantic.
Me, you, this podcast, and romantic. Just there's it. It ain't worth it.
Doesn't fit. Doesn't
no.
It.
It's like, yeah. So how you doing?
All right. How's it going?
Good. Busy.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Busy time of the year. A lot of things going on. A lot of basketball. You guys improved to 10-2 now. Halfway through the season. Well, a little bit more than halfway.
Right. Right. Just past the halfway point.
Yeah. We got a lot to get through today. Got a great guest coming up later on. We're back into the Where Are They Now segment and looking very forward to finding out where Andy Booth is now. I think he graduated in 1995, something like 94, 95, somewhere in that area. We'll be talking with Andy later in the podcast. He was a standout Vinton County football player, ended up going to University of Findlay, playing 4 years there on their football squad as a quarterback. Also had a great career as a basketball player as well, and I think he also played baseball. We'll touch base with him. He's now in Carmel, Indiana. I talked to Andy last night at length, and he had a lot of good things. Actually, I didn't realize it until we talked to him. He subscribes to the podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he was very complimentary of you and the basketball program, and then I set him straight and got him correct.
We always leave it up to you to straighten those people out.
Yeah. That's what friends are for, man. Just a brother helping out a brother. But we do have a couple of games to go back and review from the past week. We are taping this on Monday, January the 14th. So going back with two victories, one a big, big road win down at Wellston as you pick up another TVC win to get your TVC Ohio record to 4-0. As you take care of the Wellston Rockets, that game was played last Tuesday night, January the 8th. The final score, the Vikings 74, the Golden Rockets 65. And let's just get right into that game. As far as you knew that we talked about it last podcast, wasn't a good matchup for you guys in terms of size and things like that, but you went down there and Wellston came out and kind of jumped up on you 17-13 in the first quarter. You guys come out and outscore them 19-11 in the second quarter. And then I just watching the game film, Wellston got in some foul trouble, and they lost one of their main players, Andrew Richards, with like 2 or 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter. But just your general thoughts on how your team performed down at Wellston.
Well, like you said, the start of the game was a little rough for us. I think some of the things we'd really stressed at practice that week, that it just didn't – just we weren't able to do those early in the game. It was kind of one of those situations early where you're thinking, uh-oh, here we go. We're not doing some of the stuff we really emphasized. I mean, they were able to get around us off the dribble a little bit, which when you're already at a size disadvantage, that really magnifies that. When all of a sudden you got to slide up and help on the dribbler, and then they can dump it down low, or they get offensive rebounds because you're not in position. And that's really what the first quarter was like. They scored the vast majority of their points right in around the basket. So – that was something we talked about in between quarters, really trying to get, to get fixed. And I thought we did a better job in the second quarter, controlling the paint a little bit defensively. We were able to get some misses and some clean rebounds so that we could get out and run a little bit. And I thought the second quarter was a good quarter for us, being able to, turn a four-point deficit into a four-point lead at the half. You know, the third quarter is always that crucial quarter, and I thought we started the third quarter well, but they made a run, I think, eventually tied it or maybe even took a lead on us in the third. And then we had a couple big plays, a driving basket by Jordan Kidd and a foul, and then I know LB Ramey hit a big three during that little stretch there, which was able to help us open up a 5 or 6 point lead, and then we sort of then from there it just sort of stayed about that way. It seemed like we were up 4, 5, 6 right around there until the very end when we were able to get a couple stops, and they started pressing at the end, which I thought obviously they had to do because they were trying to get back in it, but that opened up some easy layups for us, which allowed us to kind of extend the lead. But it was a tough, hard-fought game. I mean, Wellston's got a really good team. With that size, they're just, they can beat anybody on a given night. I think, you know, they're going to be that type of team all year. You mentioned the foul trouble. We were able to, I thought, do a good job offensively of moving the ball around and maybe getting them out of position a little bit and draw some fouls. And then the Richards kid fouling out late in the third quarter was big. Kind of a tough situation. I've been there as a coach, you know. Kid picks up his fourth foul, and then before you can even think, "Oh, who do I get in for?"
Or
whatever,
he was out.
The ball's back in play, and on the very next possession, he charges. So it was that was obviously a unique situation you normally don't see, and obviously it helped us. I mean, he's a good player, and when he left the game that early, but it was a big win in our league. We've talked about in our league how every night's going to be a battle, and I think it's showing up that way if you look at the scores around the conference. I mean, every night, it seems like every night in league play you look and you say, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming, or I didn't, you know, Meigs knocks off Nelsonville the other night. You know, maybe not a lot of people saw that coming, although, you know, I've said all along, Meigs is going to beat some people, especially on their home court, and it's just one of those leagues that you just cannot take a night off, and you know, so far so good. We've done what we had to do to keep ourselves in, you know, to this point, the best position we can be in, which is unbeaten. But there's 6 more league games left, and it's going to be a lot of tough basketball lay ahead.
Absolutely, and the big one coming up this Friday night over at the McAfee Gymnasium at Athens High School against the Athens Bulldogs. We'll get into that in segment 3. For the Vikings, down at Wellston, Jordan Kidd leads the maroon and white with 26 points. LB Ramey has 12 points. Alex Owings has 5. Bryce Owings has 8 points. Tyler Ward comes out with 4 points. Pear Smith chips in with 2, as does Sean Cottle. Matthew Smallwood has 5, Tyler Walton 8, and Jordan Albright with 2 points. One thing you did say, and I mentioned about Andrew Richards getting into foul problems, Bryce Owings, your little big man, down there in the key, he got in foul trouble in the first half and then came out in the third corner and picked up another one.
Right.
It was nice to see, people like Sean Cottle, Chase Wood, Tyler Walton, some of your
Max Ward,
you know, those 4 right there. Those guys have really, I've seen some maturity in them just to from the beginning of the season to this point. You're seeing those guys grow a little bit and get a little bit more confident, but it's always good when you get a starting senior like Bryce or one of LB, someone like that, gets into foul problems. You're deep enough on the bench, you can bring those in, and that definitely helped you guys last Tuesday.
Well, it does. I mean, we've talked about it. That's something last year we just lacked depth as a whole, and we feel like we're a little bit deeper this year. We can go into our bench some, and the depth on our bench gives us a little bit of size too, because most of those kids you're talking about are a little bit bigger than the ones that normally play for us. So it gives us an option of bringing in a little bit more size, which we need from time to time, obviously, against some of these teams we're playing that are way bigger than us. But they're coming along nicely. Max had a big first half of that game. I mean, he came in when we were struggling and scored 4 points, scored on back-to-back possessions, one on an offensive rebound and then one off of a basket cut and a score. So, I mean, you know, 4 quick points there off your bench was big during that little run.
Now Max is a sophomore?
Yeah, Max is a sophomore.
Tell you, with that compounded with the fact he is a southpaw, that gives him some diversity there. And he's kind of a player. He's long and lanky, and he can post up and play down low on the block. But he's also a kid that you can bring out to the elbow and, you know, foul line extended, and he can knock down a jump shot, and he plays with so much heart, not only on offense but defensively. He's not one to stand around with his hands on his hips.
Yeah, we're hoping with Max. I mean, he's a guy that we're hoping as his career goes on, and you know, he'll need a good off season this year and all that, but to develop this. But we're hoping he can be more of an inside out threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want him to improve his outside shot and his ball handling a little bit so that he can play on a wing, so that we can also play some of our other big guys at the same time. Because I think we've been so small for a while now, but I think we're going to turn the corner in the future, in the next couple of years, and we're going to have some pretty good size again. So, yeah, I mean, he's a kid that is definitely on our radars, and we're hoping for big things as he matures.
Well, with that win last Tuesday night, January the 8th at Wellston, you go to 9-2 overall and 4-0 in TVC Ohio play. And then this past Saturday at 2 o'clock, Saturday, January the 12th, you were down at Chesapeake High School as part of the Beast of Southeast tournament. Always a good day as Coach Ryan Davis does a great job putting together what I consider it's always a lineup of perennial, you know, good basketball programs. I know you had you guys in South Webster, you had Athens and Fairland. See what else you had.
We had Eastern Brown played Loganel.
And then Waverly played
Pete. And then Waverly Pete. Chesapeake, yeah.
Yeah. I got a picture sent to me of their court down there.
Oh, yeah?
I like the name on that court. That's
I
really
bet you nice. Do.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe they'd mess up a perfectly good wood floor with the, was it Pearson court?
Yeah.
What do you have to
I
do?
I bet you're having some fun with that one.
Yeah. There was some text messages being exchanged late Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's mad at me right now.
Okay.
He is a adamant Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, which I have nothing against the Fighting Irish. Great program, great school. My great uncle was the equipment manager for the Alabama Crimson Tide in the 70s in the Bear Bryant era. So I'm not like some, you know, psycho Alabama, but I sent Coach Pearson about 20 texts last week, and all they said was Roll Tide.
Oh, God.
That was the day of the game.
Man, I bet he's ready to kill you.
He'll get over it. Anyhow, down at the Beast of Southeast, you guys take on the South Webster Jeeps and come away with a 59-54 win. Just your thoughts on that real quick as Jordan Kidd goes off for 31 points for the Vikings.
Yeah, he had a big game. It, going into that game, it was interesting. South Webster has a nice team. They shoot the ball really, really well. So it always worries you when you play a team that's got three or four kids that can really shoot it on the perimeter. Plus, they had one big kid inside. I mean, and a kid that moved well and was strong. And so, you know, obviously we had a couple concerns going in. We were able to get off to a quick start. I think we hit our first three shots, two of which were threes, and all of a sudden we're up 8-0. And obviously that's good, but at the same time you got to guard against, you know a good team's not going to make a run.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we tried to keep our kids emotionally level as they came over. They were pretty pumped up. But, you know, and South Webster did make their run on us. You know, especially in the second quarter, we had a little bit of a struggle in the second quarter scoring the ball. They hit some shots. Really, I tell you that the thing that we really did was we kind of just got in our own way, and some concerns with just missing layups, missing free throws. You know, some of those things. Really, we really were able to get good shots. I mean, it wasn't, you know, obviously Jordan had a big day, but because of that, it freed up some other guys. I mean, mm-hmm. to get into the paint, and we just missed a bunch of easy ones in the first half, which really I thought kept us from being maybe up 7, 8, 9 points at halftime instead of 3, and. But, you know, in the second half, I thought we did a little better job. But then South Webster did a nice job, too, of executing some things, getting some shots. So it really came down late in the game to just a possession-to-possession game. I mean, it seemed like for about the last 4 minutes, it was we were up 4, they'd score. You know, we're up 2. We got to go down and match that. And then we're up, you know. And it was kind of back and forth that way. We never really lost you know, the lead in the last 4 minutes or so, but we never had anything comfortable either. It came right down to, I think we had a 3-point lead and they maybe missed the front end of a 1-1 and we were able to get a rebound and then hit some free throws. And that's kind of where the 5-point, you know, spread came at the end. But yeah, I mean, Jordan had a big game offensively for us. Alex Owens had a nice game too, was able to get loose in the second half and get some of those layups we were talking about, finishing those and making some free throws. And, it was, you know, the good thing for us this year has been, and Jordan Kidd has been very consistent offensively for us, but we've really had pretty good consistency from everybody, and we've got the type of team, I think, where on any given night, somebody else can be that guy, you know, that puts up the points for you.
Right.
You know, we've had, I think we've had 5 guys this year score over 15 points in a game. So that tells you we've got, you know, guys capable. And I think really we talk about finding the hot hand, you know, and Jordan was the hot hand the other day. So we ran stuff to him and we really tried to find him. And the players are doing a good job of that now too. I think early in the year we had the right attitude and we our heart was where it should be in terms of unselfishness, but I think it's come to a new level now. I really think the kids are playing really unselfishly right now. They don't really care who scores or gets the credit. They're finding the hot hand. They're putting themselves second and putting the team first. And those are the things that make you feel good as a coach. And I think because of that, we've been able to play really well here lately and win our last five games.
In addition to Jordan Kidd's 31 points, Alex Owens has 17 for the Vikings. LB Ramey, 8 points. Bryce Owens with 2 points. And Tyler Walton with 1 point. So it was not. As you mentioned, you take the shooting of, you know, Jordan Kidd, who is 11 of 19 from the field. He's 6 of 12 from beyond the arc. And you take the shooting of Alex Owens, who was 6 of 10 from the field and 1 of 2 from long range. You know, Vinton County, as a team, you guys only shot 38%, even, you know, despite the good numbers of right. Jordan and Alex. And as you mentioned, the scoring breakdown, you guys jump out to a 21-11 first quarter lead. Then South Webster comes out, doubles you up in the second quarter, 14-10. The whole second half, you guys outscore them by 2 in the third, 15-13. It's a deadlock tie, 16-all. So yeah. It was a good win. And one thing we need do need to mention, what's the coach's name down there at Webster now?
Coach Ader, Stephen
I've
Ader.
Met him once. A really nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
And
great guy.
And they had an unfortunate situation. We won't get into a lot of the details, but due to an academic goof-up, one of their main players, the sword kid,
right.
he was not able to go
right.
For the Jeeps. But nonetheless, good win. Always a nice short drive to Chesapeake.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It was raining and foggy. I was at a Little League travel game in Trimble, and I thought, boy, I'd probably rather pound nails in my head than ride a bus from Chesapeake High School back
to Vinton County. It's a tough bus ride. A little bit better. I told our kids, you know, the bus ride home is always better after you win on a trip like that. But and then the other thing is the hospitality room. You know, that takes a little sting off, too.
They put together a nice...
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you.
Did you, like...
If we ever don't play in that, I'm just going to go down and volunteer just so I can eat. I'll just tell Coach Davis, hey, let me take tickets or something so I can eat in the... hospitality room. And what's disappointing is after our game I was busy, you know, kind of wrapping everything up and getting kids, because I didn't ride the bus back. I wanted to stay and watch Athens. They played the next game, and
so the kids left. They didn't stay for Athens.
No, right. So the kids, you know, they ate. They had pizza for the kids ate, and the coaches got a bite to eat besides me, because I was trying to run around, make sure everybody got on the bus all right and all that. So I thought, you know, I'll just grab a bite to eat at halftime of the Athens game.
Right.
And I did, but of course I wanted to get back out there and see the rest of the game. So I really kind of disappointed myself. I let myself down in terms of the hospitality effort, because I had one plate.
You prioritized scouting Athens over an all-you-can-eat hospitality room.
That tells you how concerned I am about that upcoming game right there, because there's very few things in life that come in the way of me in a hospitality room.
That's true.
But the one plate of food I had was outstanding. I tell you, they really do have a spread down there.
Yeah,
I mean, they have to have tons of food left over after that thing. I can't imagine, you know, they've got more food than people can eat. I mean, it's impressive.
Well, Coach Davis, class guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's, you know, especially when you get to know him, he's pretty, he's wound pretty tight. He's not a very opinionated doesn't let you know where he stands on certain things, but he's a genius of the game, despite the painting on the floor down there. Good day for you guys.
Yeah.
You're 10-2. Coming up next, we'll talk, find out where are they now. Our little segment going back to former Viking players and finding out where they are, what they're doing, what they've done with themselves, both professionally and personally. And, you know, this week we're not doing one of your former players.
Right. And that's good, because honestly, when we have somebody on that was here before me, it's nice for me because I'm learning something too as I'm listening. You know, I mean,
right.
A lot of these guys that I coach, I stay in touch with, and I kind of know already what we're giving the public that day. But when we've had Coach Wilcox in honor today when we have Andy on, it's going to be something new for me too. So I look forward to it.
Should be interesting. If you have a question or a comment for Coach Combs, you can email him at VikingRoundBallPodcast@yahoo.com. Yahoo.com. Sorry, no pun intended. VikingRoundBallPodcast@yahoo.com. Or you can send him a voicemail message on the DBK Media Services hotline. That number is 740-569-3254. Coming up next, we will touch base and find out where they are now with Andy Booth as the Viking Realm Ball Podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of Jackson, MacArthur, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Coach Combs and Carl Knox, as we get into our Where Are They Now segment and kind of take a look back and find out where some of our former Viking players are hanging out, what they're doing, what they've been doing. Both personally and professionally. And this week, a real good guest. We had a suggestion on from one of our email listeners that said they were kind of curious as to where Andy Booth was, a 1994 graduate. And we sent out our recon team coach. Yes. And, you know, our Vinton County Viking Mafia to do a little background, and we found
We're connected.
We're connected. And proud to welcome in, this is our second small world from Indianapolis, actually Carmel, Indiana, the same place that Gage Sowers is, one Andy Booth. Andy, how are you?
Just fine, how are you?
We're doing good. You know, Monday afternoon, nothing better to do, no sense in working for a living or anything like that, so I get to hang out in the studio with the high school basketball coach by the name of Matt Combs, and you know, we do appreciate you taking time out of your day. We'll get into what you were doing, what you're doing professionally, and where you've been, and all of that. But just to give our listeners a little background on you, you graduated in 1994. I think one thing you're mainly known for what you did on the gridiron, not necessarily on the hardwood, but on the hardwood, you were an excellent basketball player, a 4-year varsity player for the Vikings, 631 career points. You had 76 points as a freshman, 184 points as a sophomore, 155 as a junior, 216 points as a senior. You were a TVC honorable mention your sophomore year and your senior year, second team Southeast District your senior year, and also special mention All-Ohio. And you are also, I don't know what, you can tell me what year you went into the Hall of Fame, but you are inducted into the Vinton County Athletic Hall of Fame. Is that right?
Yeah, let's see. That would have been, I think it was around 2008, somewhere, 2007 or 8, somewhere in there.
Well, when you look back at, and then on your football career, you were obviously a starting quarterback for Jack O'Rourke's, some of his teams back in the early 90s that did wonderful things. I think back, just to name a few names, you, Jason Snyder. You were the team that lost like late in the game or in overtime down at Portsmouth Spartan Stadium to Ironton. Am I correct in that?
Actually we kind of had those guys put away, and we had an offside on a 4th and 4, and of course they had a lot of talent and they were able to get down and punch it in, and then they ended up having to go for 2 to tie it up to get it to overtime. So, you know, it was a fun time.
Well, and you took you know, all of you had done, you know, on the football field and basketball field, and then you went on to play college football at the University of Findlay. That's an NAIA team that during the time that you were up there, and when I talked to you last night, I had taken some notes, but just for our listeners, a very, very successful program. Talk about a little bit about your college career and the great things that the Findlay program did when you were playing on that team.
Yeah, we had, you know, some really nice players coming through there. And, of course, you know, my freshman year when I get there, it was pretty much scout team duty for the year. And if you're not a man already and you go through a year of scout team in college football, or for whatever sport that may be, you will be. So it gets you ready for that level of competition. And, yeah, we were fortunate enough to we tied for one national title in 1995. And then we ended up winning it outright our senior year in 1997. So pretty lucky from that respect.
Well, Andy, you mentioned what you had to go through, your, you know, when you first got there. I think that's sometimes a real awakening, I guess, for a high school athlete who's kind of a stud athlete in high school, and they all of a sudden they go away to college, and it's like anything else, you know, you've got to start at the bottom and work your way up, and a lot of kids can't even handle that, you know, that's the beginning of the end of them as a college athlete, so to speak. You know, tell us a little bit about how you made it through that stretch.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a good point. You know, Matt, I'm sure you experienced that a time or two as
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's earning your stripes. You know, you kind of you just show up, and what you quickly realize is, you know, everybody that's there was all conference or, you know, all state or whatever it may be. They just may have been a tenth or two too slow or an inch too short, but they're all, you know, very fine athletes, and you know, you just got to take a step back, evaluate, you know, where you are and continue your hard work ethic, and good things will happen. But, yeah, it was a pretty bitter pill to swallow. You know, when the team leaves town on Thursday or Friday to go travel and you're sitting back on campus, you know, it's not a real good feeling. But that's part of it, and that's what you sign up for. And, you know, if you want, you turn in your bags and you go home. But, you know, I chose to stick it out and see what would happen. So I'm glad I did.
Now, one thing you mentioned, Andy, last night when we were talking is that your senior year, they had a transfer in that was just a off-the-charts quarterback, and they had actually, Finley had actually, the coaching staff had came to you and said they would like to redshirt you, and you opted, even though you realized maybe your playing time was going to be severely crimped, you said, no, I don't want to redshirt. I want to go ahead and get my degree and play on this team. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, actually, it was the same quarterback who was there all 4 years. He had just gotten another year of eligibility.
Okay.
And the guy ended up being, you know, NAIA Player of the Year, and that would be the equivalent of a Heisman Trophy winner from a Division I level. And, you know, he's a super, super guy. He and I are still friends today. And, yeah, they came to me and said, hey, you put in your time. You earn a year to start and run the team. And, you know, I thought about it for about an hour and basically came back. These are the guys I came in with. This is my role. You know, I can contribute to the team in other ways. And if he gets hurt, you know, in game five, it'd be a pretty selfish decision to say, no, I'm not going to go play because I want to start a year. And, you know, so I stuck it out and you know, those things have a way of working out for the best. So.
Well, you know, it's funny you just mentioned the word role. It's something as coaches, you know, we're constantly, you know, it's a challenge to get your kids to accept, you know, whatever role that you need them to accept for the team. Not everybody, you know, can play the role that everybody wants to play, which is, you know, in basketball terms, maybe the scorer or the guy that gets all the attention or whatever. But, you know, it's so important to play that role. And you mentioned that. You mentioned putting your team first, like you said, to be there for them, be there with the guys you came in with, to be there in the event that they needed you. And I think with that too, and this leads me, I guess, kind of into my next thing. You know, you were a multi-sport athlete, obviously, when you're here at Vinton County. Do you think the fact that kids have trouble accepting roles, in other words, do you think that limits how many multi-sport athletes we have? So, in other words, do you think if a kid says, "Hey, if I'm not going to be a superstar, I'm not playing that sport. You know, I'm just going to focus on this one thing." Because it seems like when you and I were in school, high school, Andy, we're about the same age. When we were in there, you had more multi-sport athletes than you have now. In high school, is that something? Do you think has anything to do with it at all?
Yeah, you know, I think to a degree. I mean, it's easy to gravitate towards what you're good or what you excel in doing. So, you know, I think some of that, but also I think it's just totally different today. I mean, you've got kids, you know, that are playing these sports year round, whether it's in a special travel league, and you've got all these companies who you can pay somebody, you know, whatever the money is to go make your kid a superstar. And it's being driven from the younger ages now. And it, you know, I almost feel like kids have a perception that if they do play multiple sports, that they're going to get behind in one or the other. And I really think that's a shame. You know, you need to be well-rounded. And, you know, Carl and I talked about it last night a little bit, that I personally think that's why you see a lot of these kids getting injured at younger ages, because they are focused on one sport, and that repetitive, you know, motion, whether it's throwing a baseball or throwing a football or know, shooting a basketball. Those conditionings are all sports specific, and I think you're seeing a lot of overuse injuries.
Huh. Well, I mean, we did talk about that. And one thing you brought up last night that I thought was just a genius idea, and then Matt and I had actually talked earlier this morning about this, is something he's looking into, is one of the things you now do as a Findlay, University of Findlay alum, is their football program has a program where they bring alumni football players back up to Findlay for some sort of a panel, and you know, just kind of go through what that panel is and what you're doing now as a graduate, coming back and talking to kids that used to walk in your shoes.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're young and you know you're 16, 18, 20 years old, you really don't know what you want to do when you grow up, and you kind of live for the moment. So they've put together a nice networking program where it's not so much as a mentor, but it is, you know, you come in and you sit on a panel and you get to hear from different alumni and what they're doing and how they've been successful in the business world, because, you know, a lot of times it's just like we talked about earlier, when you go in your freshman year and you got to, you know, reestablish yourself as a contributor, it works very much the same way in the business world. So you kind of start at the bottom of the ladder, even though you have a college degree, it doesn't really matter. You know, you've got to start somewhere. And so we're trying to work with the kids to get networked, to have somebody they can reach out to, you know, whether it be myself or whomever from the alumni pool that we have, and kind of partner up with somebody who's been there, has had success with it, to get themselves organized so they can go be successful and start off on the right foot. And it's, you know, it was the first one we did last April, and I know they're going to do another one this year, and I'm not sure who they're bringing back this year, but it's a pretty nice idea, and it's kind of makes this thing, you know, what it's all about. I mean, sports will end one of these days, there's no doubt.
Well, professionally, you mentioned your professional development, you know, going back and helping these kids. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now and where you are. We know you're in Carmel, Indiana, but what your degree was in industrial what? What was it?
It was in hazardous materials management, and now I'm working in the commercial side of a distribution business in plastics, which is non-hazardous, so I'm not sure that I'm using my degree to its fullest, but you know, it definitely opened the doors by having it. So,
and you started out down in Brownsville, Texas. You were down there for what, 7 years, and then you went to the Dallas area for a few years, and now you're in Carmel. But married, and an 8-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl. So you keep pretty busy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I work out of the house when I'm not traveling, but I do travel quite a bit. So, you know, my wife, she's pretty much the glue that holds everything together. And when I'm home on the weekends, I'm home on the weekends. So it's, I get to play catch up. But, you know, it's worked out really well. And I got two great kids. And you know, my son's now getting into sports. And that's been a lot of fun, you know, to experience it from a different viewpoint.
Do you find yourself getting a little bit more nervous watching your son play, or a little jacked up, you know, just in terms of just worried about that versus you never thought a thing of that when you were playing whatever sport it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think kids in general, you know, raise the awareness and nervousness from day one. Yeah. But when I start playing sports, it's different because you want to see your kids succeed and enjoy the same success that you've deemed to have or whatever joy that you got out of playing sports. And it's hard because you don't want to be that parent that pushes your kid over the edge, but you also, you know, you want to make sure that if they're going to commit to something, that they commit fully. So it's very nervous. You know, this was our first year in tackle football, and the first game I was probably as nervous for him as I was before any college or high school game. But, you know, it worked out well, and we had a good time with it. And you know, again, I think if they just have fun and you keep focused on that aspect of it, things pretty much work out for the best.
Well, Andy, we really appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend a few minutes with you and kind of reminisce about the past days here at Vinton County, and also expound on all the success, not only in college, but obviously professionally. You're doing things the right way and having a lot of success with that. And we do appreciate taking time out. And real quickly, is your family, do your kids go to the Creek School District, the same school district that Gage Sowers in?
They do. Well, he's in the middle school, and so we are in the same feeder system, and I know that probably doesn't mean a lot there, but here you have multiple elementary schools, and then they feed up into a middle school, then, of course, a junior high, and ultimately the one high school. But, yes, if we stay in Carmel, you know, for any longer than 4 or 5 years, then he will be attending Creekside. And it was nice to hear that Gage is over there. It's a great school system, and, you know, I'm sure he gets a little different viewpoint of, you know, a little bit bigger school to see kind of how those things go at that level. But it's good for him. I'm glad he's here.
Good deal. Well, appreciate the time, and we'll stay in touch. And do appreciate you listening to the podcast. And again, thanks for your time, Andy.
Thank you, and good luck, Coach.
Thanks. Appreciate it, bud.
Andy Booth from the class of 1994 as part of our Where Are They Now segment. Makes me feel old because I grew up with Andy's older sister. Jill graduated in 85. I graduated in 86. And I remember Andy, when I was in high school, was just a little rugrat of a kid. And then obviously in high school, he was a stud. He did it all. And he was kind of an athlete that not only did he have the physical tools, but he was just a heady athlete, right, smart, and he was a leader too.
Well, that's the type of guys, you know, you enjoy coaching. Obviously, you get a guy like that, you know, sounds like when you look at his basketball numbers, he was just steady. You know, there was a reason he was playing. It always amazes me when you get a kid. My brother was this way, actually, at Uniota a little bit. When you get a kid that ends his career with 400 or 500 career points, 600 career points, and he's played 4 years of varsity basketball,
mm-hmm,
there has to be a reason why he was playing as a freshman and a sophomore. You see what I'm saying? There are a lot of times, you know, the reason's obvious because, oh, this kid can go out and score 15, 16 points a night. But when it's not quite that obvious, it probably means that he's pretty bright. You know?
Yep.
And that coach thought he brought something mentally to the table. You know, so yeah, it's interesting. You can tell by talking to him that he is, you know, that he understands the game a lot. And you can't go be a college quarterback and not, you know, not have a little you know, savvy about you and some intelligence when it comes to the game. So it was fun. Like I said, it's fun for me to talk to some of those guys that I don't know as well, because then I learn a little bit too, you know.
Well, and he played 2 years for Jerry Heiss, and then Jerry moved on and he played 2 years for Troy Thacker. So he had a coaching change there. But always great to talk to former Viking players. If you have an idea for a Where Are They Now segment, simply shoot us an email at VikingRoundBallPodcast@yahoo.com. Coming up, I got a big one to talk about. Yeah, we'll get you out of here to go to practice.
Practice?
What are you doing today at practice today, Coach?
We're going to do the same thing we did last Monday at practice. That was the advice I got one time.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask. I kind of knew what the answer was. Coming up, big TVC Ohio game against the Athens Bulldogs at the MAC. Coming up this Friday night, the 21st. No.
No, the 18th.
The 18th. I was right the first time.
Yep.
I'm already nervous about it, and I don't have to coach. We'll get your thoughts, because later as the week goes on, I don't think, give you a little distance, so we'll get into your mind before it gets clouded.
There you go.
Coming up next on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah.
The Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's. I'm loving it. Carl Knox alongside with Viking boys basketball coach Matt Combs as we get into the heart and soul of the TVC Ohio League season. You guys are 4-0 right now. That's a wonderful thing, especially with that big road win down at Wellston. But coach, you know, really when you just kind of look at this whole situation, you got a one-game lead on the Athens Bulldogs, and, you know, the situation from a standpoint of this is a big game for both teams, but going over to the MAC, that is always a very difficult place to play. I know you spent Friday night scouting the Bulldogs over at Alexander, and then also you stuck around like we talked about earlier in segment one. You stayed after your game at the Beast of Southeast and watched Athens. I talked to you about it at length yesterday afternoon, but just for all our listeners, the Athens Bulldogs, what do you think?
They're as good as you've heard. You know, whatever you've heard about them is probably true. I mean, they're very, very good. You know, the thing that makes them, they really don't have a weakness that jumps out at me right off the top of my head. I mean, they've got a whole lot of strengths that jump out at me. One, their size. I mean, their size makes them formidable right up front. They have good length and size all over the court, you know, not just in the post, but at the guard positions, and they use it well. You know, they get on the offensive glass. I thought, you know, that some of the times I've seen them play this year, I thought that was a big difference against some teams. They just shoot till they make it at times, it seems like, and you know, so boxing them out, keeping them off the boards is going to be paramount. But they use their size really well in the glass. They use it well defensively. They're always, you know, challenging the shot. You know, you get into the paint and you think you have an open shot, and then all of a sudden here comes a long arm up there and makes you adjust things a little bit. And so they do a good job with their size, which is a big strength of theirs. And then offensively, they've just really got a lot of skilled players, guys that can shoot it, guys that can handle the ball. You know, when you have that balance or on offense where you've got four or five different guys, and we feel like we're this way to an extent too, you know, where you have four or five different guys that can dribble, pass, and shoot, so to speak, it makes you dangerous, and they definitely have that. So it's going to be a challenge no matter for whoever plays Athens this year. I mean, I don't think there's any big secret that they're probably one of the most talented teams in our area, you know, top to bottom, and they've proven that. They're off to a great start, and, you know, they had, you know, the losses they've had have been tough losses. They could have easily won both of those. So it's going to be a real challenge. And it, like you said, it always is when we go over there, and then we always have a lot of battles with these guys. But I don't think there's any question in my mind since I've been coaching that this is Coach Skinner's most talented group. I mean, even with the team that went 19-1, where they had Butcher and Pfaff, right. I mean, they had really nice guards, and they were older and more experienced, which does matter.
They didn't have the physicality.
But they didn't have the physical attributes, the size, the length. So it's definitely, in my mind, the best group, and they're young, so he's going to have them for a while. But at the same time, you know, we're going to go in with a game plan and with the mindset of winning, because that's the way we approach it, and see what happens. But it's definitely going to be a tall task.
Well, and you know, they are at 9-2 right now. Obviously, we talked about their one loss to Wellston, which I'm taking nothing away from the Golden Rockets. But I still consider that an upset. And then the Bulldogs lost a tough one last week at the McAfee Gymnasium to Warren Local, and Blaine Maddox down at Warren Local, he's got another stacked team, and I would consider Warren one of the perennial D2 schools in the Southeast District. But, you know, they have a game against Jackson. The Bulldogs do have a game against Jackson tomorrow on the 15th. You have the whole week. You'll have four practices between now and taking the trip over there. In terms of game planning, obviously you've scouted them, you've seen film, you've done your homework. Do you start introducing stuff specific to this game today at practice, or does it? How do you? Can you over prepare a team, or does it start today? That's all that we talk about is the Bulldogs.
Well, I mean, I think you can sometimes overdo it. You've got to. To me, I mean, you know, Athens is great, and we know they're great, but you know, we think we're pretty good too, and we've had a good season, and to this point. And because of that, you know, the last thing in the world we wanted to go is change our practice routine and change what we do. You know what I mean? We're gonna treat it like we always do. Monday is typically about us. We want to look at what we did or didn't do well Saturday and make our own adjustments. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, turn our focus to Athens. You know, and so we're not going to change what we do. You know, just because we're going and playing a really good basketball team, we're going to, you know, we're 10-2 for a reason. Also, we feel like we do some things well, so we're going to try to be confident and go into it that way. But obviously, we're going to talk about some things that we're going to have to do well in order to be successful Friday against a team like Athens. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I think anytime you go into a game, you're looking at what can they do to hurt us, and maybe what can we do to hurt them. And I think both coaches probably look at it that way. Mm-hmm. And you try to hide your weaknesses and, you know, kind of magnify your strengths, so to speak, a little bit there. So that's going to be it's going to be an interesting matchup and good battle. I mean, I think we're probably little different styles of teams just because of the personnel. Like I said, they got a lot more size than we do, so we probably play a little bit differently. But at the same time, I think there are some similarities too. So it should be an interesting matchup. And the thing of it is, it's middle of the season, so there's a lot of league games to play even after this. So it's going to be it's a big matchup in the standings right now. But But the second time around may even be bigger, depending on how we can how both teams can survive. Because this league is going to be tough night in, night out, and there's going to be both us and Athens have to go play another round against these guys, other guys, other teams, and there's some teams in there that are very capable. So there's a lot of basketball yet to be played.
Right, and as you said, all season long, anything can happen on any given night. I guess the one thing that is advantageous for you is in terms of league games, you've already played at Alex, you've played at Nelsonville, you've played at Wellston, and now you're going to play at, you know, at Athens. So with the exception of making a road trip down to Meigs, which is never fun to play down there. Yeah. I mean, they're just a tough floor to play on. You know, that does bode well for you. And then obviously with Athens having the league loss, one league loss already to Wellston, you know, it would be huge for your situation to pick up a win over there Friday night. But easier things are said than done.
Definitely. I mean, we've put ourselves where you want to put yourself to this point, obviously. You know, you can't in league play, you can't do more than win every game that's been in front of you to this point. So we're proud of where we're at, and we've put ourselves in a good situation that way. But again, we've got six league games left, so there's just so much basketball to be played. We certainly haven't accomplished anything yet, but at least we've put ourselves in the best possible position we can put ourselves in going into this battle Friday, and we'll see what happens. You know, I know our kids are going to play hard. I don't doubt that a bit, and I know that I know they're going to be fired up and ready to go. And I'm guessing Athens will feel the same way. They're going to play hard and they're going to be fired up. So it should be a good one. It should be a battle. You know, we're hoping that we can do some things to offset some of the advantages we think they have, and we'll see what happens. But like I said, it's anytime Athens Vinton County gets together, it's usually one to talk about.
Yep. It just doesn't seem fair, though. You win 10 games, you lose two, you don't get any time to enjoy them at all. And it's kind of one of those things with you. You know, you get two wins last week. I talked to you yesterday. You're in a great mood, chatty as can be. And then today you're already, your head's starting to hurt. You're over there talking to your squint. I know how these weeks kind of gnaw on you. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it still is. But, you know, just to show everyone your passion for basketball, a little disappointed in you, to be honest with you.
What's that?
Well, you called me yesterday afternoon. We're talking about getting Andy Booth on here and talking, you know, just our normal weekly, you know, what are we going to pull out of our heinies this week? And we're having that conversation. I'd gone into the office to do some work, just got home, and I wanted to get home by 1:30 because anybody and everyone that knows anything about basketball in the state of Ohio knew that the Buckeyes were playing the nationally second-ranked Michigan Wolverines, except you. What were you doing yesterday afternoon, Coach?
Well,
good.
I must admit, it's tough. I was taking down Christmas lights. I was on the roof. And I tell you what, man, during basketball, it's a small window of opportunity. You got to get it done when you get
like
it done.
You're playing Clark Griswold yesterday afternoon.
It was raining up there. I'm hoping I don't slip off the thing, break my neck. And I've got taking down Christmas lights. And if you've ever seen our house, too, my wife loves Christmas lights. So we've got Christmas. We've got a lot of lights.
And your house is not a one story. It is a two story.
No, that's right.
House.
We've got lights everywhere. So. You know, that's the thing about Christmas lights. They're fun to put. They're fun to get up and light up for the kids and enjoy over the holidays. But then you got to take them down. I'm still looking for the Christmas light that can somehow, you know, shrivel up to next to nothing, and you can just leave them on all year. And then they got to come up with some invention where I don't have to take them. I can just leave them up permanently. That's what I'm looking for.
Look at it this way: another 6, 7, 8 years, the boys will be old enough to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, they better be, because as long as we waited to have kids, I'll be too old to do it. So I'll tell you that much.
No, but seriously, that just, I mean, you really do not watch much.
I did catch the end of that game, actually, which Ohio State had some issues closing them out. But when you get a weekend and you're always playing basketball, you're always going to practice games, you get a free couple hours, you got to get something done. So that was it yesterday. That's right.
What does Coach Combs do for his recreation, guys? He takes down Christmas lights.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, I'll let you go so you can go to practice.
That sounds good.
Good luck Friday night.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'll leave you alone. I'll talk to you next Sunday. If you do have a email, comment, question, anything for the coach, VikingRumble Podcast at yahoo.com, or shoot him a voicemail message at the DBK Media Services hotline. That number, 740-569-3254. We'll talk with you next week for episode 21 of the Viking Ron Ball Podcast. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.